And every single one of those guys can play. There's not
the only guy who hasn't contributed. The only guy who hasn't contributed on the floor yet, the staff thinks may be the best offensive player of the bunch, and that's Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, which I thought was a joke about a month ago, but after watching this, I mean, hell, probably is. That's crazy. And, you know, here's the thing. Griff, if you look at it, probably the guy that was as heralded as anybody was Parker in this class, and he's probably six right now. He's six, right? Am I wrong?
He's the only player that makes me nervous when I watch Tennessee play.
No question.
Right now, though.
I mean, he's nerve-wracking.
He may be a Harlem Globetrotter down the road, and I love watching.
Yeah, he's nerve-wracking with the basketball. There's no doubt about that.
He scares me to death.
It made you guys nervous tonight when he took a pass and almost walked out of bounds with it?
It was, I mean, he's just.
Yes.
And he got a 10-second call?
10-second call.
He's so next level, though. Hey, did it make you all nervous when he shifted gears in the air and threw that, whatever that thing was, that layup in? That thing was, you hung in the air. I'm like, what? The athleticism that guy has.
That was nice.
There's going to be some skill development there.
And one, or he'll do something post-UT, but he's the one that I sit there and go, I don't see the fit right now, and I'm sure
now,
the staff.
You know what they ought to do when he gets the ball on the fast break? Jarnigan ought to give his microphone over to that guy that used to do the N1 mixtapes. He's the helicopter! The helicopter! I used to love that dude. The big black, black dude. He was next level.
Well, whatever happened to my guy, Mike Tomlin doppelganger guy?
That's what I'm talking. Oh, that's right. They phased him out.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Byron. Byron from West High School.
Yeah.
I can call him black. The guy's black. Somebody's telling me I can't call him black. Fat is okay. Black is not. He's fat. He's black. I didn't do it. Let's go back
to
the phones.
What happened to him?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope he's doing well. I have no idea. Brian Thomas, BT. Great guy. Back to the phones we go. How long has it been since Brian Thomas has been there? And by the way, RIP Escalade. How long has it been since Brian's been gone? Do you know, Griff?
I don't. I know he was doing Summer League.
Somebody's asking where Tony Jones is. Tony's got to get up tomorrow. And I told Tone, I said, look. You got split, you know, you got your kids you recruited out there, and this is close to home, and I love Tony. I respect him. I respect people's space. So, I love Tony for that. And Tony, if you're watching, Saturday afternoon, baby, we're going to break bread. Tony does a lot of great things for our community. Let's go back to our phones. We'll get our final call in of the night at 12:21 in the Eastern Time Zone. Griff, all my lines are jammed. Can you believe it?
Sweet.
Isn't it fun?
Oh, it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to win. It's fun to compete.
Thank you.
It's
fun to compete. It is fun to compete. Before we go back to the phones, Griff, what was your thoughts on, because somebody's asked me to get Tony Jones' thoughts, what were your thoughts on Bruce Pearl's attire tonight?
You know, I don't really pay attention. I think he's wearing a blue shirt.
He looked like Hillbilly Jim.
He was sweating or not.
He looked like Hillbilly Jim from wrestling.
Hillbilly Jim?
Yeah. I mean, he looked ridiculous. What's he doing?
I didn't pay much attention except that he likes to sweat and looks like he's gained a lot of weight.
He has gained some weight.
So
he has gained some weight.
Unfortunately, but.
It happens to the best.
I think the camera's on the coaches too much in the first place.
No question. How about the ISO light thing they do now? Oh my gosh!
That's terrible. It's too much. It's too much. Like you say, coach praise,
coach worship,
I don't see it.
And I'll say this for Rick Barnes: isn't even his name introduced? By the way, I told a great story about Stephen Pearl, and then we'll go back to the phones. Last year, Stephen Pearl got mad at Jarnigan, the aforementioned Jeff Jarnigan, because he didn't introduce Bruce's name. And the people at UT are like, he didn't introduce any, but we don't introduce head coaches in here. It's what Barnes wants to do. He doesn't want his name. And Stephen Pearl's like, well, you need to mention my dad's name. He gets his name, man. He gets his name announced. No, actually, he doesn't.
Did he drop some F-bombs?
I run effing things. I run this effing town. I'm Stephen effing Pearl.
Someone told you that story years ago. Remember who did that?
Let's go back. You've had some good. Back to the phones we go. Smart Ray Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime is winding down on a victorious night for our volunteers. We've been commercial break free for an hour, and we're going to be up and at it. Adam tomorrow. I'm set up for probably about 5 hours of sleep. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys, this is Sharp. How you doing?
Hey, buddy, welcome in.
Hey, some things I noticed. Griff, did you play for DeVoe?
Yes.
You know, DeVoe, he really did not like attempted dunks and missed dunks. And if you missed a dunk, you could be on the bench for a very long time.
That is correct.
And Williams, I think, missed a dunk a couple of weeks ago. And if you noticed, he can't really jump well at all. And tonight was probably one of his highest scoring games. I don't even think he attempted a dunk. Every time he got the ball inside, he was just shooting layups.
How many layups do they have against us? As size challenged as we are, you know, Sharp, my wife looked at me tonight and she said, how come teams don't go inside on Tennessee? They don't even attempt it. We are so height challenged. Is that what Sonny Smith, Griff, was talking about today, that the game has become a three-point shooting contest?
Yes, I believe so. It's just, this is more now, and I hear this when the summer youth basketball programs that I'm involved with,
right.
I hear coaches that where players are 50, or if they're like 18 feet or between 17, 18 feet, a coach will say, don't take a two, back up for a three. You hear that over and over throughout the circuit where people look at the three-point shot and think that's a better shot than a 15-foot shot. So it amazes me. It's just a lost art now. It's truly a lost art, a 15-foot shot.
And another thing I noticed in the first half, we kept working inside. We used Hubs a lot at the high post. He would pass it to Williams on the low post and score. And all they were doing is running down the court and jacking up threes. Auburn, that is. It was the first half, it was Auburn looked pretty bad as far as the offense they were running. And the Harper kid for Auburn, I mean, he hit some. I think they had the kid listed 5'10", 165. He was hitting 25-foot shots in the first half.
He was a freak show, man. He had 21.
Why didn't he play in the second half?
Didn't
what I don't understand.
He plays, hey, Griff, he played him 25 minutes. You know how many minutes that kid would have played for me tonight? 38. You got it. He does not come out of that game for me. He's the only guy that's got any life to him. You know how many
he had 18 points at halftime.
He had 18 at the half. He had 25. He ended up with 21. He only attempted 11 shots. You guys know what his line was from three-point land? He was 5 for 7 from three-point land. Now, if you had a guy that made 5 of his first 7, how many threes would he shoot for you, Mark? How many times could you call his name?
I would call him as much as you could, considering how they ran their offense tonight. I mean, it was
exactly. He would have had a Jody Meeks night if I was coaching, because I'd have put the ball in his hands and said, son, go do something with it. Because as Keith said, Purifoy's not healthy, and they were having a terrible night. Put the ball in his hands and let him roll.
They weren't going inside in the first place, which kind of was surprising. We talk about Tennessee's lack of height, but why aren't a team like Auburn with a 6'11 center trying to go in more and get Grant Williams in foul trouble earlier than they got him in the first place? But they just didn't do that. I just couldn't believe it. Looking over, knowing that Coach Pearl's coaching his team, but the team out there playing wasn't like a Coach Pearl from the past team.
I don't know what they were. I don't know that I've seen. They were like a freak show. I mean, that was a really horribly executed whatever that was they were trying to do tonight. I'm not sure what they were trying to do. If I'm an Auburn basketball fan, what year is this for him there? Because I know he's had a great recruiting class. He's like a an inverted Barnes right now down there. Because they keep putting up these great recruiting numbers, but they're not getting anything for it. What's his? Is three or four?
I'm not sure.
It's got to be year three.
It's at least three.
At least three, right? At least three. I mean, they're not sniffing. It's not that they're not in the NCAA tournament. They're not sniffing it. And this is a guy who won 20 games everywhere he went up until that point. I mean, they're not, they will not sniff that. And I know they have 15 wins right now, and they had a real nice non-league deal, which is another thing Hatfield said, that their non-league schedule was softer than it looked on paper. Sharp, did that look like Bruce Pearl basketball out there to you tonight?
I got to thinking about it when I was watching. I was like, I think that's what we did when Pearl was here. He let them jack up threes constantly, even when we were winning a lot of games. I think that's what he did. I think he just let them go up there and jack up threes. But I think nothing that Barnes helps a team on is, I think we hit our first 13 free throws tonight. I think he constantly works on their shooting mechanics. Because you're not going to go up there and hit 13 free throws, your first 13 free throws on the road, unless you're constantly working on your mechanics.
Yeah, we were 100% at halftime, 100% from the foul line, and we finished 81%. Got to the line 27 times in their building. They got to the line 25 times. And if that isn't an indictment of how much more physical Tennessee was than them, Tennessee out-rebounded them by 10 at the half. And by 8 overall. But like Hatfield said, where Tennessee made their bones tonight is in that first 8 minutes. They went out there and threw some bombs at them and knocked them the hell out.
Offensive rebounding, the defense is just smothering. Every shot is contested pretty much throughout the entire game. I mean, loose balls, they're going on the ground getting loose balls. I mean, I'm really impressed with them.
Yeah, how can you not be? Hell, I wish I could execute like them. I mean, I have a guitar in my hand half of my life, and I couldn't execute the way Tennessee's executed in the last four games if I tried. You know?
But I agree with Griff. I think we're going to start seeing a lot of these man full-court presses for the entire game because late in the game, it was brutal to watch us trying to get the ball to midcourt.
Well, you have what you have with our backcourt, and it's not going to get any better. I mean, it is what it is. So you got some scary ball handlers. Thank God we're in a league that's not deep enough to force us, outside of a few teams, out of our comfort zone. Most teams in this league are going to let you play in your comfort zone. Most teams have, as somebody's saying right now on Periscope, most teams have about 7 players that can play. So you don't have enough numbers.
But a lot of the press that they ran late in that second half, Bone was not in the game.
Right.
And I guess he's their best ball handler.
Right. And he's an adventure.
Guards.
And he's an adventure too, because he over dribbles. He dribbled himself into some trouble tonight, as most kids do. And how about Williams, the leadership that Williams showed tonight when he got all over him after one of those turnovers late in the game? I mean, in his face.
Oh, yeah. So. I think, was Schofield the leading scorer for this game?
Yes, he was.
18?
Yes, he was. Followed by Williams, followed by Bowden, followed by Hubbs, and they were all in double figures. And then Limited Lou had 8. Bone had 9. That's a lot of balanced scoring right there, my friend.
Limited Lou, I think, was 2 of 2 from threes.
Yes, he was. When Limited Lou lines up a 3-ball and it goes down, it's your night. When he lines up a 3-ball and it goes down twice, go get yourself a lottery ticket, Limited Lou.
And I think Williams opened up the game with a 3, didn't he?
Yes. Bombs away.
Schofield hit maybe a 3 or 2.
Yep. He was
right,
3 of 4.
Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. Guys, give me a final thought. Keith Hatfield, I come to you first. You of Clancy's fame. Give me a final thought here on the way out, and I appreciate your time, brother. It's always fun.
Well, it's always good. It's always good to leave the opponent frustrated. Apparently, Bruce Pearl walked out of his press conference. Apparently, somebody in the Auburn media asked him when being young quits being an excuse.
Somebody asked Pearl that tonight?
Yep. And apparently that was the end of the press conference.
Honeymoon's over, huh?
A guy's making $3.5 million a year to coach a sport that most of the people at a school don't care about. You probably want to get some results.
Know what else I noticed tonight, which was really weird for a team with 15 wins? That gym was pretty empty. And it only holds 9,000. It wasn't exactly like they had a tremendous... Yeah, Sonny Smith always said that. Sonny said when... And I thought Sonny was just not sour grapes, because Sonny calls it like he sees it. But I thought Sonny was kind of speaking out of school, because I thought for sure Bruce Pearl would capture the imagination of those people. But no.
I mean, they didn't sell the gym out when they had Barkley and Person and Morris and those guys.
No doubt about it.
I mean, if you're going to sell the gym with those guys.
We had Final Four level basketball team, and we didn't sell that place. And how about this tonight, guys? If I'm one of the few people who cares about Auburn basketball, and I'm watching that shit, which is what that was, pardon my French, what are you thinking when they roll Cole Kubelik out there and do a 7-minute interview with him on Auburn's football recruiting?
No, you know who should raise hell about that? The SEC basketball coaches.
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to do cross-promotion, you do what ESPN does, and you put a thing up there saying, watch signing day special tomorrow. Basketball people want to watch a basketball game.
Do it at halftime.
Or do it at halftime, exactly. Griff, what did you think of that when they had old Cole Kubelik out there?
You know, it's funny, I was going to mention that as my thought for the, you know, last thought was, shows you how big it is as far as football school, not just from SEC standpoint, was when they brought this guy I've never heard of, first of all, you know, spend however many minutes he talked about recruiting.
It's a 10-minute interview.
You know, Auburn. And that's when Tennessee made their big run. I'm like, hey, talk about the guys, what they're doing, and give Tennessee basketball credit for what they're doing with this run.
No, we can't do that. Now, we got to have Cole Kubelik, because we're only going to talk about recruiting tomorrow for like 80 effing hours. We're going to jam 80 hours of it into 24 hours tomorrow. I mean, let basketball people enjoy the basketball game. Like, what? I don't mind a little cross promotion. I've done that tonight. We have a recruiting special coming up tomorrow. We're going to be on from 10 till 2. Hey, praise God. If the creeks don't rise, we're all going to be there. It's great. I love it. There's a time and a place for everything. When you're seeing a 15-4 run, get that Cole Kubelik off my TV set. Hey, we'll catch up with you in a second.
Be brief, be gone.
Yeah, brief and be gone, brah. And somebody's asking me on the... Well, go ahead. I'm going to give my final thought. Keith, give me your final thought, and then we'll go.
Oh, I think they've accomplished what... I look at this team on the road kind of the way that NBA teams look at it. You split your road games, you protect your home court. They've done that. Now they can go to Starkville, and they don't have the pressure. They don't have the pressure on them. I mean, certainly you don't go down there and just, okay, well, we got what we wanted. Let's just get out of there. But I think that allows them to play a little more loose Saturday. And now all the pressure's on Mississippi State. Maybe they come out a little tight, which I thought Auburn was tight tonight. And if Mississippi State plays poorly Saturday and Tennessee takes advantage, hey, you're coming home 14-9.
Wow. Thank you, brother. Who would have thought that? Thanks, Keith.
Nobody.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
No one. Always, yeah, always great, Tony.
Thank you, man. There's no way I would have thought that. Griff, give me a final thought here on the way out, and I really love and appreciate you.
Oh, my pleasure. One final thought is just how this undersized basketball team is able to out-rebound their opponent. You said tonight, we didn't really go through all the stats, but didn't Tennessee out-rebound Auburn again tonight, Tony?
The number tonight, Griff, in rebounding was 43-35. Tennessee had 11 offensive boards in that game. Tennessee ends up with bench points 33 apiece. At one point, Tennessee was beating them 28-4 in bench scoring. I mean, that was a bludgeoning. Auburn got a bunch of late points to make the thing look a little more respectable than it was. That was a season beating for them. Season's beatings. It came about
effort.
6 weeks late.
I mean, rebounding,
all effort.
Especially when you're undersized, that's effort.
It's all effort.
We've talked about this before. I mentioned 50-50s.
Yep.
You know, and what that means is when there's a ball that's loose, who gets the ball? Mm-hmm. That means you win the 50-50 ball mm-hmm. that's out there,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of coaches keep that stat.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you that Tennessee won that again tonight as well. So just the effort, especially with the rebounding, with the undersize, it shows that the staff really pays attention to detail and practice and working on boxing out, going yep. after the ball, securing the ball so you yep. don't pass. You know, make a turnover after you secure the rebound as well. Just really doing a good job with their fundamentals. So I'm just really, really pleased tonight, and I'm already looking forward to the weekend and the Saturday's game.
It's so fun to have basketball around. I so appreciate it. And Griff, I appreciate you. Thanks, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Enjoy being on with you guys.
Thank you, my brother. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and your Garza Law Firm. GarzaLaw.com online and SmartwayTN.net. And tomorrow we'll be on from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. I just want to say on the way out that I just appreciate the grace many people have shown me for making an ass of myself on this Barnes thing and being wrong. It's fun being wrong. I'm enjoying being wrong. This is fun. This is what an athletic department that has a $165 million budget, this is what you're supposed to give your fan base. Give them a run. Give them a ride. Give them a reason to smile. You know, give them a reason to smile. And let me tell you something. I was dead wrong about Rick Barnes. I mean, I went crazy. And I was wrong. And I'll admit to anybody. I'll admit to that orange juice guy. But Mr. Orange Juice, I'll say this to you, and I hope this gets back to you because I blocked your ass earlier. I ain't taking belligerence. I ain't taking it from you. I don't take it from people in my daily life. I don't even take it from sponsors. People that have spent money on my show before, and I could tell you a couple stories. I don't take that. I don't behave that way toward you, and I don't need that. But I will heartily admit, man to man, to anybody listening to me right now, that I was 1,000% wrong, and I am glad to be so. I'm going to give you a final thought. And here's my final thought. Tomorrow, Tennessee is going to celebrate another recruiting class. Now, X pointed out today, in a rather excellent way, that this class, 13 or 14 commitments in a row are three-star players. It's true. Rick Barnes has shown us tonight make sure I'm we're on the same page here. You don't know. You don't know. Right? You don't know. Those Super Bowl rosters, consisting of mostly two-star and unranked players. Have you seen that? The starters? Those are starters in the Super Bowl. You don't know. You don't know. Here's what you can't measure. Look. What you can't measure. And that's my final thought. I like to think I play this game that I'm in with some heart, and that's why I've been able to stick around, because I'm not the smartest guy in the world. But I'm not afraid to be on here at, 12:30? Midnight or so? What is it? What time is it right now? It's 12:30. Oh, damn it, it's getting late. What am I doing? I gotta get some sleep. Hey, love you. God bless. Tony Jones, love you, man. And We're going to come back and do this thing, God willing, on Saturday. And I'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the app. And I think I'm am I periscoping? I think I'm periscoping, too, so I'll bring my little periscope with me. Till we meet again, God bless. Hope you have a great night. And go, Volunteers, go. What an awesome night to be alive and well with you. Really terrific night. Oh, man. Let's see this. What's the game tonight? What was that? Auburn, yeah. That was so memorable for them. Auburn game. OT. Oh, so I gotta save this. I'll put it up. And we'll have some fun with it. Man, it's weird. Playing music. My back hurts so bad that I was picking my guitar up earlier, and I don't even know what I want to play. Which is, kind of means you're just sort of distracted with the whole thing. It's like, I play just what I feel. You know, so you're... Somehow my guitar got out of tune, too. Plus, I have an electric on my lap. You can't hear it, but... Whoa. Put some new strings on it. Reading a great book about the electric guitar, the history of it, the advent of it, the different changes that it went through. And it talks about these Telecasters. The first Telecaster was actually called a Broadcaster. And they had a cease and desist on the Broadcaster from another company that made some other kind of instrument. Country players love Telecasters, though. I love the Telecaster because it's got a bright tone to it. It's fun. And it talks all about that, the way humbuckers were invented and some of the other great inventions and guys like Charlie Christian, who was, Charlie Christian, believe it or not, was, I gotta get out of that. Charlie Christian was chased off the bandstand, off Benny Goodman's bandstand. And they snuck him back up there in between sets. And he looked up there and he said, as he was doing his thing, he looked up there and he went, what in the world? This guy's doing things that I never dreamed possible. Anyway, so Les Paul gets credited with many people, myself included, till I read this thing, with being the father of the electric guitar, and he's not. He's, in fact, it was invented. The first electric guitar was something called a pancake, and it was invented in the, oh gosh, it was invented way back in the day. Like in the 20s, by a guy named Beacham, B-E-A-C-H-A-M-P, like Beauchamp is what his name looks like. Beacham was the feller's name. And I love reading, because you can learn stuff like that. My curiosity running wild. So, anyway. Guitar is so cool, though, because you can just do so many things with it. And it's such an expressive instrument, and it's portable, and you can take it anywhere. And I'll tell you what, I got a student who I told tonight, I said, man, you're inspirational to me. And he said, ah, come on. You're just saying that because you want my money. And I said, no, I'm kind of not wired like that. I said, you're inspirational to me. Guy's 68 years old. And he decided he wanted to learn how to play guitar. Is that cool or what? And he said, I'm going to learn. And the first couple of weeks I was teaching him, he got so discouraged because it's an unnatural thing that you're doing with your hands. Especially kind of at that age too, when your dexterity goes and all those things. And he is having so much fun with it tonight. Tonight we were playing together and we were playing like a little, you know, piece together. And, man, it's just so fun. It was so fun. Kind of like tonight's Auburn game. Hey, God bless you.
Big Orange fans, you watched every minute. You showed your orange, but you're just getting started. Because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college basketball. It's time for the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now. 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball Vols, we're getting used to this.
Basketball Talk.
We're getting used to this.
Got a basketball Jones, oh baby, oh yo. Yes, I'm the victim of a basketball Jones. Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball. And I love that basketball.
Feed me more. Ezekiel Elliott.
Me
feed me more. Atlanta Falcons of 2010. Hey, if a 2010 member of the Falcons is listening, you can drop your leftover stash off with me tonight. Tennessee wins tonight for the second straight game. Now, we might have saw that coming, right? They led wire to wire for the second straight game. I mean, beat the hell out of that team. Bruce Pearl takes his first TV timeout, and they got him mic'd, you know, and that's all fine and well and good, unless your team throws up a stinker like that and the people are going, what are we paying you for? He says to his team, guys, they have 8 offensive rebounds already. We're at the first TV timeout. What the hell are you people doing? It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I mean, it was so bad. It was just so hilarious. One thing about Tennessee, and I don't know if we're like the most talented team in the world, but I'm writing some stuff for the blog tomorrow. It's ironic that this happened to Pearl tonight in his building. Because Pearl's first couple teams, nobody played harder. That was their hallmark. And he saw that tonight. It was turn back the clock night for him. It was turn back the clock night. Hey, give me the team that gets the 50-50 balls, and give me the team that gets the rebounds, and I'll beat the hell out of you most nights. Now, on paper, we shouldn't be able to we shouldn't be able to do that to these teams on paper. But college basketball is a game played between the lines. Tennessee's on a roll right now, and that's really fun to say. Look, when you have Bone out there and the shot clock's winding down and he knows it and throws about 23-footer and it goes in, that is so emblematic. It's just going right. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it. And you know what? You could make the case that Tennessee didn't handle the last several minutes, but I'm not going to be nitpicky with this bunch. I'm just not. I'm going to enjoy this as I bring Mark Griffin in now along with Keith Hatfield. And fellas, let's keep this going, man. By the way, I gave Tony Jones, Tony, get some rest, babe. Get some rest. He needs to get some rest. I don't want to get him in the middle of this tonight. Guys, I'm thrilled to have Tony Jones on here. And I love TJ. I told TJ, I said, I don't want to drag you in the middle of this tonight. We're going to celebrate this victory and have some fun with it. And Tony has a affinity for Coach Jones, who started him in the business, and just get him in the middle of all this stuff. And this game tonight, guys, was quite a win, quite a statement for the Volunteers to go on the road and win like that. Keith or Mark, whoever wants to jump in here, go for it.
Well, Tony, I thought it was just a simple. I mean, the game essentially is the first 15 minutes tonight. Tennessee came out,
yep.
And in Coach Pearl's own words,
yep.
They hit first.
Yep.
Tennessee was all over them, and I mean, you know, Tony, our little group back and forth. You know, it's the Kevin O'Neill, Bob Huggins influence in me. If we had followed the scouting report and hadn't gone under screens on Jared Harper, Tennessee's up 25 at halftime.
That is so true. That's a hell of a...
I mean, they would have absolutely beaten them senseless in the first half.
That little water bug there, he single-handedly keeps them in it. He's like 5'10", 165 pounds, and single-handedly kept them in the game.
And, Tony, and this isn't going to be one of my rants about recruiting services, but he's probably about the lowest... He's one of the lower-rated guys that Bruce has signed since he's been there.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think he's a guy, if memory serves me correctly, I think Tony told me he had to beg Bruce basically to take that kid. And if he's not on the floor, they're getting killed.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing. The Purifoy kid is obviously not healthy again yet. Because he's a really, really good player, and he's scored, I think, now like 10 points in 4 games. He's obviously nowhere near back to where he was earlier. I mean, he was a monster against, I think it was UConn and Oklahoma earlier in the non-conference.
But that was a big... That was a startling kill job tonight, though, Keith. I mean, that was a kill. Auburn thought they were going to bring that type of energy at Tennessee. You know they did. And they got kill-shotted early in the game. They just got kill-shot.
Well, if you look at it, Tony, one thing that's happened, you remember how much trouble Billy Gillespie gave Bruce? I think you're seeing Rick Barnes doing that because they've now played 4 times. Tennessee, but for going about, what was it, 1 of 21 from 3, would be 4-0, and the 3 Tennessee wins have been, since we're on the app only, to borrow from Stone Cold Steve Austin, ass whoopings.
Well, and the bottom line is, people are saying, oh, it was single digits with a couple minutes left. Mark Griffin, they were watching a different game than I was. Tennessee led wire to wire and blew that team out, and that's what that was. Let's call that what it was, Mark. Tennessee blew that team out.
Blew them out in all phases of the game, and just to add, concerning Harper, why didn't he play the second half as much? I mean, the guy was so hot the first half at 18 points.
Yep.
Hardly played the second half.
Wow. Somebody's telling me here we've trailed a total of 7 minutes in the last 4 games, guys. I mean, this team is so fun to watch. They are so fun to watch. And they just are so kind of out of nowhere. And this is just... I mean, I'm just going to enjoy this. That was it is so fun to have college basketball. Since we've had college basketball here, it is so fun to have it back. And I'm going to tell you something. I really feel like with today's game that college basketball is back. I feel like this was what I needed to see tonight. That the Vols go on the road and do what they did this evening makes me feel like it is back. As Kentucky and Georgia are heading to overtime, a shot clanks off the iron
that Malik,
there.
That Malik Monk is something else.
That ball almost went in.
I mean, Monk is just something else.
That shot he just made to tie the game. I mean, he is just so gifted. But, guys, back to our game. Mark, what was the most startling surprise to you about what we saw tonight?
biggest surprise for me was able to take out their inside game at all. Now, Wiley is going to be a good player. He's young. But they had no inside presence whatsoever against Tennessee, nor did they have a four-man out there that I could even see that was a player.
Yep.
Their basketball style tonight, to me, was more street ball. Now, it surprises me if you didn't know that Coach Pearl's on the side, that this team just was discombobulated tonight against Tennessee. Now, give Tennessee credit with their stout defense, but I didn't see Auburn make more than three passes in one offensive possession the entire game.
There's no doubt about that. You know, I saw a team, I got him, thanks. I saw a team tonight in Auburn that looked out of answers at that first TV timeout. Bruce was like, hey guys, we're still in this game. I mean, we should be getting killed. Anytime your coach is talking like that to you, and we're still in striking distance. And then they go out, Keith, and it's like a 15-1 Tennessee run. And that is over, man.
Well, I think one thing that Bruce has got a problem with right now, and it's something that, I mean, you look at his team's last couple of years, his first couple of years, I mean, if you break that down just individually with some of the guys that have gone through there, I mean, he had the nation's leading returning scorer. I mean, he's run through some guys there. The thing is, he's got a bunch of guys who are all used to being the first option, and you watch them, they don't, like Mark said, the ball's not moving. It's everybody. Hey, I'm going to get mine.
Yep. And that's one thing, guys, in the midst of this stretch that I have not seen from Tennessee. I haven't seen an iota of that. I haven't seen anything selfish.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, because when you do, you've seen what happens when guys take a stretch where they go one-on-one for a couple of possessions, they come sit.
It's really true. And I got to say this. I mean, you look. I got on Barnes in the summer for the recruiting. They're doing a hell of a job with this team, as we said the whole time. But you just got to keep saying it. I mean, when you come out like that, that focused, look, I know people are saying, well, we didn't finish well last 10 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Hey, look, you're playing on the road, and you have a young team, and you got to get used to winning those games on the road. So I give them some grace for that. That was a really blow my mind impressive performance we just saw. We're getting ready to go to the phones. But that was an impressive, impressive basketball game. Impressive basketball game.
With no letdown after the three games at home.
No.
I actually think they played better tonight than they did Saturday.
I agree with that. I mean, I thought Saturday was our best game of the year, and I think tonight was a damn statement.
Thought they were fantastic tonight.
Yeah.
For most. I mean, and the thing is, how often in college basketball do you see somebody go on the road and just gut somebody?
Exactly.
You don't see a lot of in a competitive conference.
Nope.
I mean, unless you got Kentucky at Missouri.
Nope.
Or something like that. You're not beat somebody's brains on the floor all night on the road. They're going to stand up and at least show a little bit of pride at some point. So, I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, if people want to complain about the last 10 minutes, that's fine. I'll be more concerned about the first 30.
I'll tell you this right now. Mississippi State laid a freaking egg tonight. I don't know if you guys saw the result that they had, but they got...
Oh, they got hammered.
Whew.
But that just means Tennessee's walking into a complete hornet's nest Saturday now.
Take them one at a time. I'm thrilled. I said Saturday, guys, and I think we all agreed, we take a split in these two.
You get
a split in these two, and you come back alive. You win both of them, you can start thinking about what seed you are when you wake up on Monday, because you're in the tournament. You're officially in the tournament. You get a split, and you put yourself in the conversation. But I'm not, in my mind, I'm not going to, what's the word? I'm just not going to go there yet. I'm not going to go there just yet.
I'm not going to worry about this team's, the only thing I'm worried about is this team getting to enough wins, they've got a winning record. I'm not going to worry about anything else regarding the postseason at all.
I agree with that. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Kentucky stretched it out on Georgia. 81-76. Fox is, guys are having a pretty good year.
Did anybody lose more close games, though, in the league than he has
since
he got there?
And
they lose four or five of these every year.
That A&M loss beats everything I've ever seen.
Oh, the only team they ever beat, the only team I can remember them beating in close games the whole time that he's been there is Tennessee a couple of times to keep us out of the tournament and South Carolina to keep us out of the tournament last year.
It's just, it's a shame. Griff, what else
from tonight's game? I remember him winning close games.
Before we go to the numbers, Griff, and then go to the phones on your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee basketball overtime. What else stood out to you about tonight's game, Griff, before you go to the numbers?
Well, once again, just the tenacity on defense. And another thing that's really a small detail, but I was real impressed with the efficient passing